Blog Talk Radio.
Is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and we got another great episode today. Doing the show actually from Bishop Ireton High School because it is game day. It's game day actually all over the place. I was flipping the TV around last night and saw DeMatha High School. DeMatha losing, they were ranked 6th in the country. Lost to a fourth-ranked Bishop Gorman from Las Vegas about a beautiful campus, beautiful school, and a great, great football game. Two top-notch teams, bunch of D1 athletes all over the field, future NFL stars all over the field in that one. So the high school season's kicked itself off outside of the public schools, and that brings me to our guest today, Ed Shields, head football coach of the Suitland High School Rams, as well as president of the Prince George's Coaches Association. So he'll be on after our PAT segment to talk all things football in Prince George's County. For college guys, it's all about fine-tuning now, and two-a-days are over, just fine-tuning game plans, a couple more practices, and they'll be kicking off their season as well. We'll talk a little bit about that in our PAT segment. And then, of course, in the NFL, where the big boys play, it is week 3 of the preseason. A couple games Thursday and last night. I saw Julian Edelman may have a knee. I don't think Patriots fans should be worried. They will just fill somebody into that slot and continue the juggernaut that is the New England Patriots. So I don't think we got anything to worry about there. But Skins got Cincinnati at home tomorrow. They looked a little bit better, and I think that's what you want from preseason. Each week you get a little bit better. And same thing in season. You just want to get a little bit better until you get to that Super Bowl win. So we got a good show today. We also may have Super Referee Craig Muckle stop by to talk big trade, Kyrie, a huge, huge trade. So he will talk all things Kyrie. But before we do that, let's get to our pay attention topics, and we got a couple of them today. Of course, it's fight night, and we got Floyd Money Mayweather making a guaranteed $100 million versus Conor McGregor with a guaranteed $30 million. The pay-per-view is $90 per television set. Everybody is making money off this deal. I got to tell you, for me, this sounds like the eclipse, like a lot of hype, a ton of hype, and nothing's really going to happen from it. I mean, you've got a guy who's never been in a boxing ring before going up against pound for pound the best in the world. So I look at this not being a long match. I think people will be disappointed, won't get their $90 worth or what have you that they're paying out for. I got nothing for this fight, absolutely nothing. Next topic. The Nats continue to play with a backup team. And I don't know if people are paying attention to this, but last night, if you looked around, and I hear that Ryan Zimmerman now has a shoulder. So, you know, look for Adam Lind to be playing a little bit more. Lind's been playing a lot lately. I guess they were trying to keep that injury under wraps, but looks like Lind's going to start today and maybe for a couple days. So, you know, Murphy's the only guy that's a full-time starter, and Rendon that are playing every day. Last night, Lobatone was out there again. Of course, Defoe is going to be in for Trey. You had all backups in the outfield. Stevenson, you had Howie, you had Michael A. Taylor, whose jersey last night said Mikey T on it. Interesting. So you know, I don't know how long they think they can with a backup team. I mean, it's not just a backup outfield or maybe a backup catcher. It's a backup team. I mean, even the pitcher last night with Scherzer being down was A.J. Cole, who's 1-4. They lost again. A nice outing, but, you know, no bats in the lineup. I mean, he held them to 3, you know, but they end up losing 4-2. So, hey, you got to pay attention. I don't know if this is going to backfire or fail where they're got guys hurt. Hopefully guys are coming back. There's rumor Jason Worth is on his way back. So, get a couple rehab assignments done. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But right now, I'm concerned about our Nationals and the health of the Nationals. So we'll see. Next topic that we could talk about is this Giancarlo Stanton. He hit 2 more home runs last night. He's on pace for 63 home runs. So, you know, I just think that we gotta really figure out, again, I hate to bring it up, but no one's hit 60 in a while. And, you know, just kind of when you look at it, the last time guys hit 60, it was aided, let's put it that way. So, you know, I mean, the guy's hitting phenomenal. Maybe he's just having a great season. He's got 49 home runs currently after last night's game. And but the next guy is Cody Bellinger with the Dodgers at 34. So Giancarlo's got 15 more than him. Joey Votto's got 33, Paul Goldschmidt 30. Charlie Blackman 30, but Charlie Blackman's in Colorado, so that's where half of his are. Flip over to the AL side, Aaron Judge's got 37 home runs, so even Stanton's numbers are a dozen more than Aaron Judge. It's like, wait a minute here, like what's going on? So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, but I tell you what, don't pitch to the guy because he's getting it done. So anyway, we could talk about all of those all day long. But I think we got maybe a pay attention topic that's a week early, but you never get tired of talking about. So it's preseason in collegiate football, and well, not preseason, but because they don't have that. But it's time to get the season kicked off, and you know when you look at the top 10 that came out in the preseason rankings. You know, number 10 is Oklahoma State. Now, I got to tell you right now, first of all, Mike Gundy, their coach, turned 50 this year. So it's been 10 years since he made that epic YouTube video saying he was 40 to a reporter in a rant in a press conference. So, but I got Oklahoma State not really being that good. As a matter of fact, I got them losing to the University of Pittsburgh early in the year. So that's not one of my predictions, but it might be down the road. I got Pitt beating Oklahoma State. That'll ruin their chances for any sort of top 10 or anything like that. So they're done. Wisconsin, they play in the Big Ten. So it's tough. I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, it's just tough now. Coming off last season where everyone thought they'd wrap it up and Penn State beat them in the end, I think they got a little chip on their shoulder. I think you still got to watch Wisconsin. I still think you got to – you got to make sure that if they get through a couple of course, they'll blow out teams early. But if they win one or two of the ranked opponent games that they had in the Big Ten, then you got to look out for them nationally. You got to. Then we got Washington. Washington was so good last year, so explosive on offense. But everybody's going to be looking at Oregon. You know, new coach, of course, new uniforms as always. I think you got to watch out for Oregon. I think if Washington can get past Washington State, Oregon, and USC, they're going to breeze. Then you got to look at them back in the playoff hunt. Boomer Sooner, you know, coaching change there. I don't think it'll impact them at all. Too much talent. You know, they're in the Big 12. They can run up a lot of points. They did lose their back, Perron, who's now with the Redskins, so that might cause an issue. But I think they stay in the top 7 or 8. throughout the season. Penn State, they're going to lose to Pittsburgh early. They're going to lose. Pittsburgh's going to beat either Penn State at 6 or Oklahoma State at 10, and which would then make Pittsburgh rank. So Pittsburgh wants to win those two games. Now, do they have enough talent? I don't think so. So they beat Penn State last year. I don't know if they can beat them twice. It's a home game for Pitt. It's a rivalry game, so you never know what happens with rivalry games. Of course, you've got Clemson. Clemson ranked 5th. I think this is just, you know, lag from last year, really. I don't think that this Clemson team is that good. Losing Deshaun Watson is a lot. Kalman, so many others, the linebacker row for them, they lost. I just think it's going to be really, really tough for Clemson to repeat what they've been doing. I'm not saying it's a total rebuild, but I think it's going to be real tough. USC, you know, USC goes as the quarterback goes. I think the quarterback wins the Heisman, but only because he puts up huge, huge numbers. I don't think the numbers are going to equal wins, and that's what concerns me. I don't think they're better than Washington. I think Oregon's going to give them fits. UCLA is going to give them a fit. It's going to be tough, and we don't know what Oregon may bring to the table. So it's going to be tough, but that quarterback is great, G-R-E-A-T, great. Now, he will throw for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns. I don't think it's going to equal wins. I think he'll get big numbers early. Once they settle in the Pac-12, I think that's where he kind of slows it down a little bit. Florida State's ranked 4th. Third, I think Florida State will win the ACC. They're better than Clemson. The problem is, you know, they open up with Alabama, and there's so much hype around that opener that I just don't know if Florida State loses that game, what it does to them. I think if they win that game, look out. If they win that game, you know, it could be a collision course between Florida State and I would say maybe a Wisconsin, maybe a Washington. But look out for them if they win that game. Now, don't win that game, you know, how many wounds do they suffer physically when you lose to Alabama? So that's going to be interesting. Ohio State's ranked 2nd. And, again, like Wisconsin, if they can – they'll blow out teams early. If they can just win their games that are big, like the Michigan game. You know, the games that are ranked games, a ranked opponent in the Big Ten, if Ohio State wins those, then look out, right? You already know where the collision course is going to be. But I don't know if they even get out of the Big Ten, to be honest with you. You know, Penn State's ranked 6th. I think that's way high. But, of course, I'm biased. But there's so much talent in the Big Ten that to just crown Ohio State this early can't happen. They're going to have to play that out on the field. So, number one, clearly, and above all else, Roll Tide. Jalen Hurts, that quarterback, if USC QB, Darnold doesn't win it, this guy could win it. He's going to run that team. Now, here's the thing, and I may make this a pay-attention topic in the weeks to come. The backup quarterback from Hawaii, 5-star quarterback, really, really good and itching to get in. So I know down at practice he got a lot of reps. Like, he can go right now. He could play. So on the other side, you know, with Saban, if Jalen Hurts doesn't perform, let's say they get an early stumble to Florida State, would they look at that backup? I don't know. I mean, you know how Saban is. It's all about winning. So, but I think right now Roll Tide is the way to go. I think they win the SEC no matter what happens in the Florida State game. I wouldn't be surprised if they blew out Florida State either. I mean, this team is still really, really good. And look at the number of guys that went to the NFL draft from Alabama. But believe me, the engine doesn't slow down. I mean, they're constantly recruiting. So I just think that right now, Roll Tide's team. So, you know, we'll keep updating the top 10 as the season breaks down and see what happens, see what shakes out. So after the break, great guy, great friend of the show, Coach Ed Shields from Suitland High School, the Rams, home of Navarro Bowman. And I know he wishes he had Navarro right now because one of the things we want to talk about with Coach Shields outside of, you know, just the overall outlook on the season is, you know, private schools coming in. And you know, if you look at rosters now, with concussions and recruiting being at a fever pitch, you know, if you got 30 guys on your varsity, you're doing well. So if one of those guys is a Navarro Bowman, you're doing really well. So he's a great, great guy, student of the game. I've coached with him, had a time in my life with him, and so he'll come on and we'll chat a little high school football. So we'll be right back. Chuck's gonna take us out of here with a little music, and we'll be right back with Ed Sheehan, head coach, Suitland Rams, on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck, we do need money. We did not win the Powerball, so we do need some money. But a guy that doesn't need any, because he is the head coach of the Suitland Rams, so he's got plenty of money. Coach Ed Shields, are you there?
Yes, though I think you may have me confused with the money part, because I may look like a million, but I don't have a dime. So.
Oh man, Coach, it's good to hear your voice, man. I'm telling you, I was going through my closet the other day, and I came across my old Northwestern T-shirt, practice shirt, and it reminded me of 2002 was when I coached with you at Northwestern High School. Man, I mean, it's not many guys that I'm talking to that have been coaching as long as I have, but you are one of them. So it felt good, though. It felt really good to remember those days and those kids. You had some great kids over there, great staffs over there. So, but now, you know, we've coached against each other. You were over at Suitland, and now president of the Coaches Association for Prince George's County. So while you're not the spokesperson for the whole county, you're the closest thing I could find. What in the world is going on? What's the state of football in Prince George's County these days?
You know, I think the state of football, I mean, it's good. Can it be better? Yes. You know, maybe I want too much. I know that there has been a decline in the number of kids that we have out, and some of that is just relates to the generation, more video games, more just, you know. And football, unlike basketball, is outside. It's with the bugs. It's with the sun. It's with, you know, you're not in the gym, and it really takes something these days now for kids to play it. But I do think that overall, football is still alive and going, and there's players working very hard at their craft, and I think you'll see more of PG stars, you know, the Navarro Bowman, the others that have gone on to the league, and you'll find them that there'll be more of those. But I will say we aren't getting probably as many kids out as we normally would.
Now you open up next Friday with Great Mills, and I'm just going through your schedule here, and I see it, and you got a game out in Delaware, which I did that when I was at Crossing. That's always great for the kids. You go back to your old stomping grounds, Northwestern, in late September. But it looks like there's a little wrinkle with the schedule nowadays. Can you tell our listening audience about about how the schedule's kind of redid.
Well, the Athletic Association, and that's PG's AD basically, and football representative, they came to the Coaches Association and said, hey, look, you know, we want to change some of these schedules up because there are some teams that don't that may still be a 4A team but not have as many football players, or may not have a program that is as successful because, you know, for a multitude of reasons. There may be some teams that are in 1A who are, you know, who have a schedule that doesn't really fit them. So what they did is they asked us to, you know, come up with divisions where we could play people who we were on par with, or who previous years had shown we were on par with. And while I'm not a fan of it myself, I sat down with the other 20 high school football coaches in the county, and we came up with a you know, with a division, that three divisions, and we have a division one where it has you know, probably all the teams that have, you know, a lot of players and have you know, had decent records, and then division two, which is a little bit of like division one, but doesn't but it's just where these groups fell. And then we have division three, and these are teams that haven't won you know, haven't won a lot of games. And so what they're doing is having the division three play against each other for the most part. They have a couple games outside of their division, but for the most part they have they play people in the division. So you take a school like High Point that has had some coaching changes and, you know, things and struggles that they're going through but are trying to pull up. They play now they'll play, even though they're a 4A school, they will play a 1A school like Surrattsville. They'll play Central. They'll play Fairmont Heights. You know, they right, instead of playing Wise, Roosevelt, Suitland, Flowers, you know. So that makes their schedule a little more amicable for them. And, you know, they're hoping that that'll give their program an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at Crossland's schedule, and it, you know, it's full of, you know, one Division I team. So I get it. I guess, is this a safety deal or what? Because how does, if I remember correctly, you made the playoffs on points. And so you had to play, you know, I mean, you would get points for even if you beat the lower, you know, a team that would say, let's say, 2-8, you still got the points from those two wins from that team. How does the point thing, does that still work out that way, or how does that work?
Yes, the points thing hasn't changed. The points thing is more of a state thing. So what we've done inside PG County is just really a PG County thing. So the points still stay the same. There's a lot of discussion on this because if you beat a 4A team, for example, you get 8 points and however many wins they had. So if they were a 4-win team, you get 8 points for beating them plus the 4 wins. That would be a 12-point game for you to help you you know, get to the playoffs. So, you know, but it's a double-edged sword because if you play a 4A team that's really bad and hasn't won any games, you would only get the 8 points. And so right. If you only get the 8 points and you don't get, you know, that, let's say, for example, to show the contrast, let's say you play a 3A team, which would give you 7 points, and they have 5 wins, you know, or 4 wins. So that would give you 7 points for beating the 3A team, and then if they have 4 wins, you get 11 points, or 5. If they have 5, you get 12 points. So you still would get more than playing the 4A team that didn't win any games, you know, or only won one game, something like that. So, you know, the coaches fussed back and forth over this because some thought it was a disadvantage. The coaches that were having the struggling programs, for the most part, most of them were on board with making the change because some of their schedules were brutal. And I know we're going to talk about safety in a little bit, but we had one team that just didn't have they didn't have a lot of players, and they, you know, they had some ninth graders on their team because they were making up players, but they were 4A. They're a 4A school. And they had one gauntlet where they had to go Wise, Roosevelt, Suitland, Flowers, and Duval. And that's that's tough for it. Right. That's tough for it.
Was there anybody left?
Right. So, obviously, as you get down, you know, as the games went on, they got people that are hurt. They got people that can't play. And that just made the games worse. So, you know, so this is the reason. And I still say that I think we could we could have changed that without doing it this way. But, you know, we had to, you know, we had to come to some agreement on something. So we, you know, sometimes you don't always win in what you want to get to, but you have to compromise. And so that's what.
No, absolutely. So now with these rosters shrinking, I mean, you're right. I think some of it is just a sign of the time because you see it all over the place. And then, of course, with player safety and concussions and that. But I think specifically I wanted to ask you about recruiting because I know that there's all these pop-up Pop Warners and these quote-unquote nonprofit organizations coming out and getting, you know, promising kids the world. And really, I think the engine behind that machine is the private. So the private schools are really starting to come in and tell a compelling story to parents. And I don't know if Suitland High School has been hit by this, but I know other schools in the county are losing players not only to DeMatha, Riverdale, Pilate, and McNamara, which are in the county, but then outside the county as well, in the city and over the bridge in Northern Virginia. What's your commentary on that?
Well, I mean, to a certain degree, I think it's sad. And that's and at Suitland, we've lost some over, you know, over the years, more so lately than in the past as much. And what I mean by that is within the last 4 or 5 years, you know, than in the past. But the only reason that I think can be said, because I do think parents can decide where the best education for their kid is. I have no issue with that. But you'll find a lot of times it's not about education. And you'll find that it's about sports. And, you know, maybe I'm just too old school. I just, you know, this is not the NFL. You know, you're going to try to move your kid around for sports. You know, I think that loses the true meaning behind, well, what was the purpose of them going to school? And, what's the point of them getting a real education? Now, I'm not saying football is not important. I love football, so don't misunderstand me. It's just that, you know, we're there to educate, to help build character and those things. But, they're going to school to get an education, to be what they're going to finally be when the day is done. Most of them, you know, maybe 1% of them, if that, are going to the NFL. So what are the others going to do, you know? And, you know, I once said to a parent one time with a kid, I said, you know, I need you to be as excited about them doing their schoolwork as you are when they're out here, when you're out here screaming, you know, because we're winning and things like that. You know, I just think the education part gets lost, and that's what bothers me, you know. But I understand, you know, as one woman told me, my son is going to do, going to pay for this and pay for that later on. And that type of stuff saddens me. So when the coaches come on and the coaches then add to that, I think, you know, we kind of do a disservice. Now, with that said, you got a great number of private school coaches. No, not a great number, a large number who are looking out for the kid, are, you know, doing that. I just think that sometimes the shadow coaches or the coaches that are underneath that try to pull people through their program aren't always looking out for the kids' best interests. And unfortunately, that rolls down even into Boys Club, because we had a ninth grader, I'll leave the kid's name out, but we had a ninth grader who went and played Boys Club. I mean, the kid was, you know, great athlete, but. So then he comes back in his 10th grade year, and his boys club coach tells his mom, well, he needs to play boys club again. He's really not ready for high school football. Okay, now the kid right now was 6'1", 170-something pounds, and could fly. But he needed him to lose some weight to get down so he could play defensive end on boys club. And it's funny because I had to convince the mother that, no, he really needs to be in high school. Needless to say, I was able to convince her, and he went on a D1 scholarship. I mean, he could have went to even probably a better D1 school had he not played in boys club that ninth grade year. But that's why I said I just don't think that it's always about, unfortunately, about really what the kid's future is. Sometimes it's just about their team and how much better they can make their team, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was watching that game last night, Gorman and DeMatha. I'm no fan of DeMatha's. I'm 0-4 against them, which most people are. But I'm thinking about, coming off the field after a practice and a 10th grade parent would walk up to me and say, "Hey, coach, we're thinking about pulling him." And I go, "Well, no, I've got all these great things and da-da-da, great staff, and I'm getting kids into college." And he goes, "Yeah, but he can play on television next year in Las Vegas, Nevada." I don't know how you compete with that. I just don't know how you compete with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's a tough, I mean, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good coach and I think I've gotten some kids in college, but Vegas in August? Same weekend as the fight, and I think that's where the education and all that gets lost, right? I think the parent hears, hey, wow, we can get it's a trip to Vegas, but in essence, it's so much because what's going to happen when he gets there? Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be third string? There's a whole lot that comes into play.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this about your roster specific, Suitland High School, and concussions. What are you guys doing over there to educate, to prevent, to decrease, what have you, this concussion thing?
Well, the biggest thing we do have is awareness. I mean, there has been such a good job of awareness in the last 4 or 5 years. It's really been good because I think we all used to fall into that mode, you got a little woozy, whatever. Well, that's not the case anymore. I mean, everybody is very, very cautious. We're doing less hitting than we've done in the past. We're taking everybody in the county is doing this. We're taking a concussion test so that they can establish a baseline of, what do you know now versus if you did have a concussion, what do you know? What can you remember? So they're doing a lot of good things, I think, for it. And, and like I said, we're cutting down on the all schools are cutting down on the hitting that they're doing. So we're doing that. And I think we're doing enough for it. As we learn more, then I think, things will get even better. But, I think at least right now it seems to be going pretty well. We don't, and I don't want to act like it's a big deal. We haven't had concussions like 5 years ago, we had concussions all the time. We're just much more alert to a kid getting hit, kid hitting his head on the ground. It's just that, and we are watching things very closely with that.
That's great. Ed Shields, president of the Prince George's Coaches Association and head football coach at Suitland High School. Coach, I got to ask you this question because this is my last season of coaching. I announced that to the team on the first day of Tour Days. I announced it on this podcast about a month ago. Today is my last season opener. And even talking about it is tough. Because while I think I want to always coach, I can't. And so I got to ask you, being one of those dinosaurs out there, what's next, Coach? How much more? I know you got a big family. They're growing up. What's next?
You know, I take it year by year. I've really been, the Lord's really blessed me with a very beautiful and understanding wife who sacrifices a lot for me to be able to do this. So, you know, I can say I'm blessed. And so I'm taking it year by year. I am looking forward to retiring from my regular job pretty soon so that I can do it more. But we'll see how that happens. Wherever the Lord takes me is where I'm going to go, and I'll be all right then. But I really love what I do. I love working with the kids. You know, the best part is seeing them come back with their degrees in hands from college and their families. There's just nothing like it. So as long as that joy is still in my heart and the Lord tells me I'm on my mission, I'm going to be on it.
Well, see, that's easy for you to say because, you know, I came over there with a busload of kids and you ran the score up and you sent me back home. And so for that reason, the years have gone a little longer for me. But it's all right, Coach. It's okay. But no, I'm teasing you, Coach. I'm teasing. You're the best. And whenever I'm in my travels, whether it's in the deep south or in the northeast or in the west, but most importantly in the DMV, I always say, hey, if you got a question about Prince George's football and specifically Suitland High School football, reach out to Coach Ed Shields. He'll tell it to you straight, honestly, and that's what we love about you, Coach. So we appreciate you coming on. We'll be following the team this year. You open up with Great Mills. Mm-hmm. That's what, next Friday?
Well, actually, next Saturday at 12. And Coach, I just want to tell
Saturday
you real quick. Yes, and I just wanted to say thank you for all you do for kids. I appreciate you. I appreciate your show. And just know whenever you want to coach, you can always come home, baby. So just know that.
Yeah, you got that right. You know what? A lot of guys tell me that, but they're a season too late because this is it. But I appreciate it, and I wish you all the best when you win that game against Great Mills next week.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Ed Shields, head football coach, Suitland Rams. And, you know, Ed had to walk into a tough spot. Nick Lynch, who's a Hall of Famer in my opinion, had passed away, and Ed Shields was the right guy to put right in there and steady that ship, and he's done it, and he's done an outstanding job. I worked with the guy, and it's on my football resume that I worked with Ed Shields. I think that makes you look good if you're around that guy. So great guy, great character guy. So anyway, hey, we're going to come back in a few moments. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Super Referee Craig Muckle, who will lay out this whole Kyrie thing for us, because I don't know what just happened with Kyrie Irving, and LeBron, and Isaiah Thomas, and all this other stuff. So we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Announcement here, and we skins. Obviously, the Redskins got a big one this week out at FedEx Field, and you know they got a. I don't know what's going on with that run game. I don't quite get it. They got decent backs. I think the Boomer Sooner kid's going to be the starter ultimately. I think Kelly will be a nice backup. And, of course, Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's really, really good. What a good draft pick he was by Shanny. So, the line, I'm not sure I quite understand our offensive line. This is supposed to be Hogs 2.0, but it looks more like Piglet because there are no gaps. There's, and you know, they've gone away from kind of the zone downhill scheme that Shanny and Little Shanny used to run. And they're going with kind of a man system, a man zone kind of system. But and while they do well pass protecting Kirk Cousins when there's no blitz, they don't do quite as well in the run game. And this team's going to have to be able to run. They cannot have Kirk Cousins throwing for 5,000 yards again. First of all, I don't think they have the receivers to do it. So I think that's going to be a challenge as well. So, you know, so we'll see tomorrow night, 4:30, Skins, Bengals. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, something happens in the world of the ARB. We got a Super Referee Craig Musselwhite. Is he there?
Good morning.
I think you were singing your theme music there. You were singing it, singing along, and you didn't hear me say, "Are you there?" But you are there. Please,
I
Craig.
Am.
First of all, how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm well, man. How about yourself?
Good. I'm good. So
fantastic.
We called you back because I look at this as an emergency. Something happened in the NBA this week that I don't have a clue what in the world happened with this Kyrie, LeBron, Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward. I don't know what is going on. What in the world happened with this blockbuster trade? Lay it out for us.
All right, so basically, Kyrie, I think you're aware of this, Kyrie basically said he sort of wanted to be out from under LeBron's shadow, and that's, I guess I'll just say that's probably the, you know, polite way of putting it, although I don't really think there's a lot of animosity directly. But, you know, I think you have, you know, two highly ego-driven athletes, like, you know, a lot of them are, to be fair. And, you know, I think ultimately Kyrie, maybe much like Kobe when he was with Shaq, wanted his own program. And so if you can't maybe separate the other, you know, superstar, you have to separate yourself. So he figured that the easiest thing for him to do is to try to force a trade, which he ultimately did. And so the Cavs dealt him to the Celtics for, Jay Crowder is the most notable, Isaiah Thomas, first of all, is the most notable return person coming to the Cavs. But then you also have Jay Crowder, who was a significant player on the Celtics teams and significant contributor. And then they got Ante Zizic, who's a center. So, you know, a big guy, a lane rim protector, as well as the 2018 pick from the Brooklyn Nets, which is unprotected. So, and I think everyone may recall from some earlier conversations we had that Danny Ainge had been really stockpiling a variety of number one picks. So here's an opportunity for him to take one of those and provide in a trade to get something of value that they really wanted.
So, Craig, let me ask you this question. When I look at the deal itself that Danny Ainge did, he sent Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, this Zizic guy, and the Brooklyn Nets number one pick. Isn't that a little much to send over for one guy?
Well, a lot of it is, and I will say not necessarily. Now, look, Kyrie Irving, I think, you know, is probably a top 10 player in the NBA. We can argue that. That's fine. But he's definitely in the, you know, upper echelon of players. And I think
What's Thomas?
Excuse me?
I mean, Thomas is in that stratosphere, wouldn't you think? I mean, couldn't they just kind of maybe swap that out and then maybe a late, like the second round pick. I mean,
well, it's not
first round pick.
Yeah, in the NBA, it's not only about, it's just not always about the players. It's also about, can the trade work from a salary cap perspective? And so there are some opportunities for the Cavaliers to maybe get some other parts to keep LeBron in place when his contract is up at the end of this coming season, because LeBron can walk. And part of the challenge that the Cavaliers were going to have, assuming that they did nothing, was that if LeBron were to leave, then the Cavs would likely have to rebuild, because both he and Kyrie could have left probably, you know, in consecutive years, and then the Cavs would be left with nothing. So this creates an opportunity where certainly they get a really good player back in Isaiah Thomas, as well as Jay Crowder, who could really fit in nicely, you know, with the Cavaliers. And it helps as they look at who may be, you know, whose contracts may be coming to an end after this season, and that sort of thing. So it's not always about the talent you're getting, but a lot of times it's also about making sure that the trade can work under the confines of the salary cap. Because, you know, if the contracts don't work, then it doesn't really matter, you know, who you're getting. Because that's why you get a lot of these, you know, players or other things that seem to be throw-ins. But with salary cap being consideration in the NBA, that's where, you know, I think certainly someone like Zizic comes into play. But,
Super,
you know,
referee Craig Muffel joined the Extra Points Radio Show. Let me ask you this question. With this blockbuster deal, how does this affect the Golden State coronation? Do they now have some competition? And if so, who's their competition now?
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone doesn't think the Cavs won't get there to face them again. It's probably going to be a little more difficult, of course, because now Kyrie's on the opposing team, which, you know, was in the Eastern Conference Finals with the against the Cavaliers. So that will be very interesting in and of itself. I think it's like everything else, aside putting the Warriors aside, because clearly, you know, they have a plethora of weapons that were capable of, you know, negating LeBron's influence. But, you know, certainly in the Eastern Conference, only one team has LeBron. So much like we said last year, it's who's got LeBron and who doesn't. And since there are, what,
right,
15 teams that don't have LeBron in the Eastern Conference, until proven otherwise, they're the Eastern Conference champions, and it's incumbent upon everyone else to knock off the champion. So,
well, there's some people out there saying that with the Kyrie move, that the power has shifted over to the Celtics, you know, the nice draft pick and that. But, you know, when I think about this deal, it's almost like the Celtics blew the team up. They got Jaylen Brown, they got Al Horford, Terry Rozier, and Marcus Smart all coming back. That's only four guys out of 12 coming back. And those four only made a third of the point. So, you know, I was surprised to see ESPN and some of the others say the power shifted and aging LeBron, Crowder doesn't get you any points. He's just a banger. Isaiah's hip. That really the Celtics pulled wool over everybody, and they're the ones that are going to contend for Golden State. Do you agree with that?
Well, let's not forget Gordon Hayward did come over to the Celtics also from Utah. Not, you know, a really good player. And, again, as I mentioned earlier, he played under Brad Stevens at Butler. So that's a big deal. And I don't remember if you mentioned Marcus Smart when you were rattling off the four guys. Maybe you did. If you did, I apologize for missing that. But, you know, the Celtics do have lots of good complementary pieces. Now, Gordon Hayward's not complimentary. I don't want to sound like he is. And he's going to help. But I do think, like anything else, they got to learn, you know, they have to assimilate the play. And I think ultimately, unlike Cleveland, who's got an established leader, an established winner in LeBron, they don't necessarily have that. They do have Kyrie, but Kyrie's going to be new to the Celtics. He's going to try to, you know, have to be incorporated into what Brad Stevens wants to do. So I think there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. I think, you know, it will be fine, but here's the other thing. I am not sure defensively how they're going to, you know, stop the Cavaliers, I should say, because, you know, some of those games against the Cavaliers were just frankly not competitive. And sure. So I think the gap defensively for the Celtics is still pretty wide, because right. How are they going to contend with LeBron James? So it'll be interesting to see, because the season starts out, you know, in mid-October, and I think the first game for both teams is against each other. So we're going to see right away how it's going to work out.
Super referee Craig Muckle joined the Extra Points Radio Show. Let me shift gears on you. Last week, we touched on a little bit this whole Colin Kaepernick piece, and I saw the Kit Kat Bar guy, Chance the rapper. I saw him with Colin Kaepernick T-shirt on at the fight yesterday, at the weigh-in yesterday, and everybody's in an uproar. There was a march outside the NFL offices in New York, blah, 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 blah. Jim Brown came out and said, Jim Brown, an NFL Hall of Famer, said he doesn't desecrate the flag or his national anthem. If that doesn't mean anything, and while he admires the young man's point of view, come on. And so I'm sitting here, and people just don't want to hear my argument, which is this. If you are good, it doesn't matter what you've done. They will figure out a way to get you on the field. Barring you're locked up in jail, you will play. But people think this is some sort of poor him. He's been blackballed, this and that. He's not good enough. And I just don't get it. And I want to talk about your team specific, the Steelers. Now, they went out and drafted Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs is a rookie guy of Tennessee, really good player. He doesn't have any eyebrows. I don't get it, but he's a really good football player. But here's the thing. Is Colin Kaepernick more prepared to win an NFL game than Josh Dobbs right now? Absolutely. But Josh Dobbs is cheaper because he signed a rookie contract, and Josh Dobbs comes with no baggage. That should be reason enough to stop this whole conversation. But I want to hear another opinion, because, of course, in the X-Point Radio Show, we're open. We're open. So what say you? This thing is still going on. What say you?
Okay. We did touch on this last week as well. So specifically about the Steelers, look, if he were to come to the Steelers, if were the Steelers were even to consider him, which I don't think he did, but I'm sure they would say to him, we will consider you here are the conditions on which you will be employed, which, you know, that does happen in the world of work, as we know. So that would not necessarily be out of the line of question. Look, would the Patriots sign them? No, they have a culture. The Steelers? No, they have a culture. There are other teams with a culture. Now, you know, let's go to the opposite end of that culture spectrum. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, who clearly don't seem to care about,
exactly,
you know, what some of their players do. And in the overall, now they had Tony Romo. They certainly have Dak Prescott now, and that sort of thing. So, you know, if Colin doesn't fit or doesn't work from a talent perspective, that's fine. That's clearly a team that puts things aside, and I don't think anyone compare what Colin Kaepernick has done to what some of the Cowboys players have been alleged to have done, so, or have in fact been found to have done. So I don't think on that there's any issue. So clearly the Cowboys don't think he can play. And as I said here last week, and I'll say it again, you're going to be hard pressed to tell me, Coach Howard, football coach, Howard, that Colin Kaepernick is not the best in the top 65 quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm hard-pressed because there are a number of quarterbacks on lesser teams, Cleveland Browns among them, Chicago Bears among them, in some ways even the Houston Texans last season, maybe even the Denver Broncos, had starting quarterbacks who I'm thinking, well, Kaepernick could have at least had a shot if he wasn't going to be a starter, because some of those guys, you know, I think the only reason they were starting is because they had no other alternatives. So I agree, yes, you have to. If you can play, they will find a place for you. But I think we saw with the Ravens that some people in the organization, two well-respected people, Coach Harbaugh and obviously Ozzie Newsome, thought Kaepernick had enough talent to play, and they also thought his activism wasn't an issue. Ultimately, Steve Bisciotti, the owner, felt differently.
So let's go, it only takes one team.
Yeah.
Let's go with the top 65 argument. So he's not in the best in the top 32. We know that because those are the starters. If he is in the top 65, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do for next week's show, I'm going to go through all the backups for opening day
and see if
I rank him ahead. But here's my argument. If he's 50th, you have to bring the bags with it, which drops him to 75th, which means there's 25 other guys I'd rather have. And so what I'm saying is,
and then he's on the practice squad.
Look, if O.J. Simpson was 25 years old, I hate to say it, he'd still be playing. He'd be playing because he's O.J. But this guy is not. And here's the other question I've been asking Kaepernick fan or Justice fan or whoever folks are want to call themselves. Why isn't RG3 picked up yet?
Because he can't play.
Right, exactly. It's the same guy. They ran a zone offense. They're very athletic, but they don't know how to read defenses. They don't know how to stand back in a pocket and throw a ball. They don't. Watch this. When you go to that 65 number, remember some of these backups are starters. Jimmy Garoppolo with New England. New England's paying him big, big money just to stay around as a backup. So he's probably not in the top 65, but I will check that. But go ahead, you had a comment.
No, I mean, look, RG3, I think the difference between RG3 and Colin Kaepernick is, at that point, durability. I don't think there's any question that Colin Kaepernick is far more durable than RG3. I do think that hurts him. I also think, frankly, that RG3 didn't help himself when he attempted to, in his effort to come back, when he sort of was not being a team player, which is why the Redskins let him go. I mean, he just felt like he needed to be out there. And look, you know, that injury he sustained against the Ravens a few years ago was a difficult injury to come back for. You know, you're much closer to it than I am, but I think anyone in the realm of sports knows that when you blow your knee out like that, it's tough. And for a mobile quarterback or any skill position player, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, largely starting actually above the head and just in terms of your confidence. And, you know, he certainly tried to talk a good game, but at the end of the day, I think the results didn't match, the level of his conviction about his ability. So I would give Kaepernick that.
Super referee Craig Muckle, we are right up on time. Okay. Let's pick it up again next week.
No problem. I got to
get out of here. I got to coach a game. But, hey, thank you so much for being our guest again this week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Hey, the extra point, as you all know, and it is good. Go Bishop Ireton.
have a vintage moment here.